It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, fellas? How are you guys?
Awesome.
Getting it done.
Okay. Hey, so Boris, I know you're super busy and the school Battle Arts Academy is doing phenomenal, and I appreciate you taking out of your time. And I believe you ran into a mutual friend of ours, my son's grandfather,
yes,
at a signing, and he was very impressed, and he's very interested in your dojo.
Yeah, we're actually opening our second location this Monday. We're going to the new location in Beaverton, Ontario. It's actually a small town. So I was kind of nervous, right? Because you don't have the population to draw from. But seems that because it's such a small town, it's like big news,
right,
that this is happening. And we have the support of, you know, the mayor and the schools. And so it's going to be an interesting experience, to say the least.
Well, but
yeah. Your son's grandfather, I'm such a huge fan of him. What a gentle giant, man. He has that giggle, you know, like a teddy bear, but teddy bears are still bears.
Well, you can be happy when you don't have anything to fear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. It's, you know, but not to, you know, because Battle Arts, I myself and Aaron, we got to be at the open of the original Battle Arts Academy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was a festive evening. It was a tremendous evening. It was a little weird, but there was some cast of characters. Now,
Brodus and I called that one guy out right away, and you didn't listen to us, but you learned your lesson.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah.
We've all been there. So will it be the same type of festivities as it was before? Because you had, it was like you had media there. There was hors d'oeuvres, I believe. There was snacks. You know, there was students. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it's not our grand opening on Monday. It's kind of a pre-opening, meet the public, you know, sign up if you want to get a deal, but a grand opening will be later. And there are probably, you know, some fire jugglers and the bouncy castles and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you always go full regalia when you do anything. I mean, you go all out. And I've always respected that about you.
I love that word, regalia.
Yeah, it doesn't get used enough.
Not enough.
No. So
we were always known for our parties, which you never attended, Tyrus.
No, I did. I'm not a partier.
The one New Year's party.
No dark liquor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, we don't. Yeah, it's not good. But no, we, in fact, I remember a New Year's party because, you know, and when we were in Tampa, a lot of the other wrestlers would be in Tampa. And it was kind of known, like, if you wanted a fun time, you would come by where we lived.
Yeah. You guys were like you were the frat house. You were the wrestling frat house.
Yeah.
I like hosting. I like, but our
you know what? Let's give a little background. Santino is a phenomenal host, and I'm a host myself, but you go above and beyond. There was the purchase of the green egg, which you were very proud of.
I still have it.
Of course you do.
I drove to Toronto just to bring the green egg home.
Yes, and it was well worth it because when Tino throws a party, again, full regalia, it's an event. It's not just some paper plates and some food. It's an event, and you are expected to act accordingly. And Aaron would just kind of co-sign on your artistic.
No. I tell you what, I was the unsung hero of the party.
Oh, I'd love to hear this
also,
one.
And I believe in this New Year's party in particular. I had decided, and we had probably about, I'd say, like, close to 50 people there in and out. I mean, people still talk about it, but I was actually set up in a corner and I was doing paintings, and I gave Justin Gabriel, who was another colleague of ours, a painting that he still has to this day.
Yes. Is this PG?
Yes. 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 Of course it's PG.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just going to talk about the party a little more detail, but
yeah, you know what? Kate is very good about, you know, if it gets weird, she'll just edit out. Kate is our producer.
Okay. Well, there's about 20
people. Are we actually doing this?
20 people on at least magic mushrooms at the party. And
for the record, I was not there. So go ahead.
I was not one of them. I was painting.
You were painting because you were on mushrooms. Don't. Hey, it's okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's the truth. Hey, we tell the breaking news. We tell the truth here.
Yeah.
You're not gonna offend me in front of Kate.
Party?
You're not gonna lie in front of Kate, Aaron. You're not. She will cancel this like that. Like what? Like that. Okay. Wrong hand. Like
I may have been accidentally. I may have accidentally ingested okay. some.
Okay. You know what? If you're going to be on the Three Wise Men, you're going to have ownership.
I'm 50 years old.
Yeah.
I'm finally reaching the age where I can speak the truth.
Yes. I agree. We're all truth bearers here, Idol.
Yes, I am telling the truth.
Okay. Do, so you were on mushrooms painting.
At my parties.
Accidentally.
Okay. Yeah. You accidentally sipped tea and prepared it. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes.
All right.
No, it was a great party.
Please continue.
So Justin Gabriel and I, we were upstairs and we thought we were deserted on a desert island. And it was New Year's Eve in Tampa, and they had helicopters searching the skies for, you know, trying to deter celebratory gunfire. And we were pretending that the
people were spraying.
The helicopters were searching for us on our while we were stuck on this deserted island. And it was very realistic at that time.
Did they find you?
They found us, yeah.
Okay. Did you... things I would do on a deserted island to get the attention of a helicopter, I would wave my arms. Did you do that?
Yeah.
I would.
We're kind of doing the equivalent to like snow angels, but on the sand
okay.
or the carpet.
Did you think about creating a fire?
I was going to partake in the celebratory gunfire, but I was talked out of it.
Yeah.
Thankfully so. That would not have been good.
Yeah, shooting down a helicopter on New Year's Eve, I'm pretty sure is against the law.
Well, no, I mean, then Pacho would have thought that you were firing at him, and then we would have ignited the war, which, you know what, I am going to say this right now. We're going to tell the truth. I'm going to spit some truth right now.
All right.
We had a next-door neighbor. No, who, actually, he lived across the street. And yeah.
That's still
the
next
area
door.
We lived, yes, next door. So the area we lived in, it was actually really being redone. And Anthony had purchased a really, really nice townhome, but it was still it was right by the University of Tampa. So there have been people there that are lower income that have lived there for, you know, years and years. And our next door neighbor was Pacho, who stole not one, but two of Anthony's bicycles. Like he stole one. And then 6 months later, we're all sitting out on the stoop. And he comes up, says, "Hey man, can I just borrow your bike?" And he rode off and never came back. So he jacked him twice.
Well, apparently it was in his shed, and then his shed got stolen. And anyway, Pacho became a character, a reoccurring character in the sitcom. You know, in and out of jail, and he was a good guy. You know,
yeah, no, he stole like two of your bikes. He was not a good guy. He was not a good guy. That's the whole point.
So when I was in Florida a month ago, the house across the street, Pacho's, it was actually his grandparents' house. It's been torn down. It actually was torn down. They're building because the area is, I believe it's regentrification is taking place.
Yeah.
And they're tearing down the final remaining little homes and putting these beautiful homes. So good for the neighborhood.
And bicycle culture is flourishing, I take it.
Yeah, because the guy who borrows your bike and doesn't give it back, which is stealing, great call. So, okay, yeah. So it is New Year's Eve. You're wasted on shrooms, painting.
Lightened.
And Anthony and PJ are responsibly making Sandmans on shrooms upstairs, pretending that they were being rescued or trying to get rescued. And how do I fall into this? Because I was not there, for the record.
You were at home with a giant, because you remember the picture you texted us? And I cannot walk by a display of these things to this day.
Okay.
Oh, the cheese balls.
The cheese balls.
So,
yeah, you were supposed to come.
Okay, so since we're all telling the truth, I often would say I would be there, and I was coming to your festivities knowing that I had full well no intention of going. Like, I would literally be in a bathrobe watching sports, and I'll get a text, "Hey, party's in 45 minutes. Can we put you down?" Like, "Yeah, I'll be there." And then it'll be like, "Hey, are you coming?" "Yeah, man, I'll be there." And then around 10, I just wouldn't answer and be like, "Oh, I fell asleep."
That's exactly what happened.
That's always what happened. So,
hey, what happened to my table?
Yeah. And, oh, your table's in storage still. I have it. It's in Tampa.
Oh,
it's
nice.
In storage.
Make sure you disinfect it.
Yeah, there was some issues with the table, but I want to get into that. But
that's a sturdy table.
Yeah, it just was missing some screws, but that's fine. so it's safe. It's safe in storage in Tampa. But it was New Year's Eve, and I had to go to a party, and I don't like going to parties. And it was So it was a party with my son's family, and I had to be in attendance there. And so I always do the thing when I'm at a party and I don't want to be there, I become antisocial, not opposed to like my normal antisocial. I turn it up a notch. And there was a guy who I didn't like at the party. He was annoying because he kept asking he asked me wrestling questions constantly. And I'm like, it's wrestling, you know. So what happens when this guy, I said, you've seen the match, right? So you know what happens, okay?
What's John Cena like?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and so, but he really wanted some cheese balls, and he annoyed me. So I finally said, listen, man, if you come over here again and talk to me in any way, say hi, ask me how the weather is, pass the salt, I'm going to put you to sleep. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Stay away from me. Okay? Enough with the dumb questions. And he's like, well, you know, for the Funkasaurus, you're just not a happy guy. No, I'm not. I'm a miserable human being, and I'm willing to pass the savings on to you. Ask me another question. I'm like Samuel Jackson now. I ask me another question. And he went away. And then I heard him say, where are those Cheez-Its at? And they were cheese balls. So I took the canister, put my arm around it, and sat there and dared him to ask for them. He did not. And then I get a text from Aaron going, hey, where are you at? We're all waiting for you. We can't wait to see you. And I said, I'm busy, and sent him a picture of the cheese balls in the Costco container, which is a ridiculous amount of cheese balls to have.
That's a lot of cheese balls.
Ungodly. It's a year supply. Yes. Maybe a 6 month supply.
Yes. And so I sent the picture to you, like, this is where I'm at. And it went well. It didn't go. It went over very well, I believe. But not, I'm not knowing that I sent a picture of cheese balls to a bunch of guys on shrooms. So I'm sure it was magic cheese balls at that point. But this picture lived for infamy for quite some time.
It was like the perfect response at that time.
I don't think I said words.
And we knew. That's the thing. Like when you sent us that picture, we knew we were not going to see you. And we that table, and that it's a big table for all you listeners. Like it's probably what, 7 feet, 8 feet long?
Yes.
And wide. And it was full of food. I mean, ribs, chicken, steak, burgers, potato salad, desserts, anything you could imagine. And he just sent back the picture of cheese balls. We're like, he's in for the night. He's gone.
Yeah. And
I believe we sent him a picture of the spread.
No, Santino's spread was phenomenal.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah, your spread is better than butter. I don't mind telling you that. Like when you put it's a cornucopia, and again, regalia, cornucopia, words that we need to bring back. It was a cornucopia of not just food, but well-prepared food, and might I say, Santino, color-coordinated.
Like
You know, you guys did not, you know, you two were, when it came to parties, a power couple. And I mean that in the most non-sexual sense. Like you guys.
Oh, it can be sexual. That's fine.
Okay.
No, it can't.
But you guys were, you know, and there was a lot of rumors. I'm gonna be honest. We all thought some things, but
no.
We had another roommate.
No.
Yes.
No.
But and he was younger, and that led to the, you know, and Aaron would always go to those weird clubs and send it. See, Aaron didn't help himself because he liked to send wow pictures to like make you laugh. And be like, ha-ha, I'm going to send this picture of me and a guy dressed like Spider-Man held upside down with a red ball in his mouth, and these guys are going to be amazed. And we're just, when
I
we
never
get the
sent
picture.
I never sent a picture like that.
Yes, you have.
Okay, I'm way off.
Spider-Man. I've sent other pictures.
I forgot, you're a DC guy. I'm sorry. Batman, is that better? Is it Batman better? Okay.
It was Catwoman.
Catwoman, is that better?
Catwoman, yes, Catwoman
is a 65-year-old man dressed as Catwoman.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
So
it was Catwoman.
Catman.
No. It was a woman dressed as Catwoman.
Okay, whatever you want us to believe, it's fine. And he would send that picture, and all we do is be like, yeah, he's sick. This guy's.
Yeah, one time I went with Aaron to it. It was an alien fetish night. And
how do you find that?
I didn't know.
You didn't know. Okay. You walked in and was like, whoa, it's alien night. Wow. These guys told me it was bingo.
Can you see from my perspective? May I be allowed to just tell you my side of the story?
Yes, please.
I have been in the wrestling business since I was about 16 years old.
Okay.
And after a while, you know, when you go to just, and I was never a big partier, but like, you know, who wants to go to a nightclub? You stand there, you pay way too much money for a drink. It's crowded, and it's just the same thing. If I go out, I want to see some stuff that I'm not going to be able to see. And I mean, where we were living, we had Hyde Park right across the street. So if we wanted that kind of bar college thing, okay, whatever. No, I want to see stuff like, I want to see people that have to get themselves ready because they are performing. So it's like going to see a show for free.
But it's real life, and it's not a show to them.
Like, which makes it even better.
Because they believe they're aliens.
Well, the one guy, because remember when the 7 foot guy took a bump?
He had an alien costume that was obstructing his vision. And then the last step just took a bump and was a boom, alien down, alien down.
You got to, when you make costumes, man, you got to practice. You just don't put it on. You know, you got, if you're going to walk in high heels, you got to practice. You just don't go to the dance. Right, Aaron? You got to, you know.
Why are you asking me? You know what? That's just that. That is just a low blow. And I'm asking more out of, by the way, just to prove what kind of a friend I am, I'm going to give you a plug and a congrats. I expected more out of a best-selling author.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know what? It's not you know what? I know what you're doing, and you're good at this. You're trying to give me a compliment because I touched a button. You know what I'm saying, Santino? Yes, I'm astounded I'm a number one best-selling author. But you are not going to camouflage. When I asked just a question you could have agreed on, I could have said the same thing. Like Santino, if someone's going to wear high heels, they got to practice first. He would say, yeah, I would imagine they would. You took it personal and was like, somehow I was outing you. You know, your wrestling character wasn't the Rocky Mountain Horror Show guy. You weren't walking around in Nine Inch Heels.
Rocky like Horror Picture Show, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I forget. I'm sorry. I wasn't big on that film. It was very difficult to follow.
You never danced the Time Warp?
No, just and I didn't understand why a vampire woman was so angry all the time. I didn't get it.
I must say, the video of COC going to the bookstore and getting your book, that was
a tearjerker.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah, I approved that. Yeah, that was... Okay, so I guess we're just going to let this go. We'll move on from it. So,
thank you for the save, Bort. I was not expecting that of you. Wow.
But at least you admitted that it was, in fact, a save, hence my point.
We keep it real here.
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah, we keep it real as long as it's nothing at you. But, yeah.
Hold on to your steering wheels, folks. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
My book came out on Tuesday, fellas, and you know I'm a hopeless pessimist. The glass is half full and somebody probably spit in it. So that's how I tend to look at things. So when my book came out, I was like, you know, if I make the top 100, I did all right, you know, which I was already at 33 in the pre-sales. So I was like, so I'll at least stay, you know, in the top 100. And maybe if I cracked the 10, that would be kind of cool. That'd be saying something. But I did not anticipate as soon as it was released, it was at number one. And it was number one on Amazon, number one in Barnes Noble's, Books a Million.
What?
It was selling out. It's sold out on Amazon right now. It's I think Barnes and Noble's is sold out, and they're all re-upping and reprinting and all this fury. But usually you're at the Amazon number one bestseller for about a couple hours. I was on it for 3 days until they ran out of stock, and then they still had people ordering it, even though when you go to Amazon and says you will get it, they were like, you will get it when we feel like it. We have no idea. It's out of stock. We will let you know at the earliest convenience. And still, we've maintained at number three after that, which is unheard of. It's just nuts. I don't believe it. And it's humbling. And then the reviews are just unbelievable. Although I had this one guy. There's always one. And I just can't let it go. And I have my suspicions, Aaron. He basically, I had all these, I had like 178 reviews, 5 stars, and really people sharing their stuff. And I was like, wow, I'm reading it. Then there's this guy who's like, you said that you were in Lynn, and in the book it said it was a 30-story apartment. And I know for a fact that apartments in Lynn's only go up to 20 stories. I was like, are you kidding me? That's it. And that's what you did. And it was a typo. It was, I think I said 3 stories is what I said. But that's what you, that's, that was your issue. That was
Johnny
your,
research over there.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I was like, well played, sir. You know? And, I was like, but that's where I had to say, hey, stop focusing on the one when you have all these people who are like pouring their hearts out to you. So, you know, focus on that, you know. And so I did, and I didn't worry about it. And eventually, I guess, the message I put on social media to have him beaten and dragged out in the street worked because he took his stuff down. Like, a special shout out to Jason, our boss, the podcast, who had that taken care of. Appreciate that. So
are you going to do an audio book?
Yeah, I'm doing the audio book.
I get my eye surgery, you know, it's reading is really tough.
Right. Yeah. So you're getting eye surgery?
Yeah, I've gotten. I'm in the middle of a 2-step procedure.
Okay.
I've done one step, and the next one they're implanting contact lenses in my eye permanently, locked in.
Wow.
Oh, that'll be. Are you sure you want to go through with that?
Yeah.
What if one of the contact lenses malfunctions?
It's not a chip, Aaron. It's not
They put it in. They line it up right, and they have their.
Do you have to add drops ever?
My eyes are dry when I smoke pot anyway.
Well, you shouldn't do that then, you know?
Shouldn't do what?
He can. It's legal, Aaron. You can't.
In Canada,
yeah,
bro.
Aaron.
I believe a sound mind is a key to navigating the waters of this this crucial and unprecedented time.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I'm not sound, and this helps soundify me.
Yeah, you wrestled at a high level, you know? You didn't come out every night and be like, speak to the masses and call everybody idiots. Like, you went out and did work.
Yeah, you know, I didn't. I couldn't smoke on pot. I was not a good wrestler on pot. So that
no one is. Okay, two things and people need to know. You're never good drinking before you go on a talk show, and you're never good smoking before you go on a talk show. You think that you are. You think that you are just dropping gold, but it doesn't sound like gold. And you don't look like gold. And you will be like, hey, so I was making this joke, right? And everyone's like, why is he talking so slow? You forget what you're going to say. But in your mind, you're just dropping Shakespeare, you know, and you're like, whoa, just drop the point, bro. And, you know, Kat's like, first, I'm not a bro. That's not a point. And you've been drooling for the last 3 minutes. Please stop. Clean it. Get
it together. Well, so wait a minute. What were you drinking?
What was I drinking?
Me? Yes.
Light whiskey.
So you were drinking. Dark alcohol on.
No,
the air.
It was Jack Daniel's light. I mean, everyone has that.
No, that's a bad. That is a, you.
It said light.
No,
Tennessee light. Maker's Mark light.
No, no.
Clear ski. No. It was clear. No. It was Russian. It was called Clear ski.
White Russian. It was vodka cranberry.
It was clear. Clear ski. It was whiskey without the dark. It's like a fermentation.
See, here's the issue now with Tyrus, right? And there's multiple sides of Tyrus, but you know, I'm going to let this know. There is the witty, and you know, puts on a decent front, you know, and can speak on any subject. But there is another side to him where when he gets to a certain point, like you just don't want to mess with him. I mean, I don't think that there is. Or are very many people in the world that could contain him when he gets to a certain point.
Okay, I always respected the referee, even that night that John Cohn was there, and he started counting me when I was going to end Eric Perez, and he said he would disqualify me in the front yard, and I backed off. So that statement is incorrect. And again, I said it was clear whiskey. It's different. It's not the same thing. I know what happens.
What was the end result? Horrible.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Exactly.
It never goes well. And wrestling, to Santino's point, I was at AAA and I was in a tag match against Ray. It was me, MVP, and I can't remember who the other guy was because I was drinking. I took beer from the fans. I was chugging beer from the fans during the heat.
Ooh, and, that's dangerous.
Yeah. You know what? Warm beer in Mexico City, not a good move. Not a good move. And everyone in this room, I think, at one time or another has taken a splash from Rey Mysterio. I don't know if you have or not. I guarantee you Aaron has. Well, he has the ability to go from about 150 pounds to 700.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got hit with a chair by Rey, and I was like, wow, the lights are getting pretty. And then I got 619 into Dr. Feelgood's DDT, which is stiff. And then he climbed up and he does the thing. When he hit me, when it got to one, the throw up was coming. And it got to two, I was like, you will not throw up in the ring. Three, I rolled off. I literally threw him off me at three, rolled off and hit the ground, stuck my head under, and gave all their beer back to the good people of Mexico.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but didn't get one drop of throw up on myself or my beard. Same as when Christian hit me in the head with the ladder, and I was, you know, you get fined $500 for bleeding in the ring, and I was able to throw myself and all blood out to the floor. Not one drop in the ring. And as I was getting stitched up, and Dusty came in, he was like, "Baby, we could do that in Omni every night." And when Triple H came in, I said, "Not one drop was on the ring, bruh. No fine." He's like, "We're not going to fine you. You got 13 staples in your head. It's not going to fine you." I'm like, "But there was no blood in the ring." And he's like, "Yes, correct." I said, "Just for the record, I controlled my bleeding in a professional manner to the floor." And he's like, "Yes, yes, you did. And you didn't have to. And you actually made it worse by throwing yourself head first on the ground. You pile drive yourself when you could have bled just fine in the corner. The doctor, we would have taken care of you." And I was like,
"Don't get blood on the carpet."
Yeah, I bled on the mat, you know, the mat. And but so we've all had our issues, but the point is, at least I own it. And you know, now I have found an alternative cure for dark alcohol. I'm proud to tell you guys. It's called a whiskey sour. I don't know if you're familiar with this term, but it's delightful. Absolutely delightful. It's a little bit of sour mix and a cherry, a black cherry, and some whiskey. And here's the thing. Just a scotch drop of grenadine. And it's like a happy Shirley Temple. And I sip on them and I just have a nice day, because you know what? Nobody ever gets mad with a little bit of grenadine in there, a little bit of the Shirley Temple juice
the grenadine,
in a drink.
Right?
That is the kryptonite to the bar fighting monster on dark whiskey who thinks everyone has betrayed him, even though they haven't. So that's
When you start that side eye, that's not you put your tongue to one side of your mouth and you start side eyeing people. I'm like, my first time when I was at Impact and you were there.
Yeah,
like we all went out after I made my Impact debut. We're at a bar and like people are coming around. Like I think Dixie Carter sat with us and stuff, and there's that one fan. And then, like, he was really annoying, and then you started side-eyeing him, like, "Oh my God, we're going to get into a fight our first night back."
It's more of a warning. It was a warning, and it was just people get irritating, man. And the drink can be just a truth serum sometimes when you don't.
Yeah, I was never an alcohol guy, probably for that
reason.
No,
me neither. I don't drink, but I tell you what, if you ever do, if you're in a situation where you need a little courage, it comes in handy. Like we were going on a whitewater rafting trip, and it was, you know, I'm not the strongest.
That is horrible advice. Wait a minute.
Let him finish. Okay. Dare you?
Myself, because I can't believe you just said
You just said you were accidentally shroomed and it made you an artist. Let him finish, please. Liquid courage. I understand this.
Yes.
Go.
Well, it was with a canoe, and the canoe going down some rapids.
It's dangerous
because it's a little unstable.
Yes.
And then, you know, a little small bottle of Jack Daniels, and all of a sudden I'm like, all right, let's go down the rapids.
It's not just that. And with a canoe, you have to trust the guy on the back end or the front end. So yeah, you need to have a little liquid courage. And when you say small bottle, are we talking like 16 ounces here, liter, or like the little tiny ones?
No, like the little gimmick ones at the cash register. It's like half a Mickey type thing.
Okay. The hotel ones.
No, bigger than like an airplane one.
Okay.
Like five of those, maybe.
Okay, yeah. I once chugged a whole giant Costco bottle of Jack Daniels at a Bill DeMont party, and I did a thing with my neck, and everyone said, "Oh, God." And, that's the night that I thank God for referees. That's all I'm saying. Like, the one thing about me is I always respected the stripes, and I respected the five count. So I've always respected those things. But
when I was younger, though, you guys know a Southern Comfort? That's alcohol. They have that.
It's very comfortable in the South, yes.
I used to call that biting juice because it was just
– Yeah.
It was on, man. If I drank that – I was younger, of course. I was in my 20s. But if I drank that, I'd be leaning on people and telling them, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" I'm like, "You want to fight?" And it was not good. It was not good.
No, yeah, we have, it's also called bulletproof juice in the hood. And gin will do that to you. Yeah.
I think so, it's if you're predisposed to fighting, right? Like it brings it out in you. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, now you would get drunk and unfollow people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I just go to sleep. If I have a glass of wine, yeah. It's like, where is my bed?
Yeah. I'll have a beer and I'm out.
Don't you dare touch that dial. And if you do have a dial, you need an upgrade. We'll be right back.
May I point something out?
Yes.
That, look, I think it's wonderful that we've all kind of, you know, are doing well and, you know, or Brodus, the best-selling author, you know, you're on Fox, all over the place, two gyms in Canada, congratulations. But I'm going to point out that the two of you just displayed an egregious insult to Temperance.
Who the f*** is Temperance? I don't even know him.
You encourage people to get drunk and go whitewater rafting.
No,
if
no,
you're listening
no,
to this,
no.
If you're still with us, that is a horrible idea. Do not,
okay.
Do not consume alcohol or mind altering substance of any kind and do things
no,
in
but
nature.
Don't get
not
drunk.
Okay. I didn't even know you were a jockey because apparently you like to ride high horses. So,
thank you very much.
Okay, first of all, have you ever been whitewater rafting in a canoe, Aaron?
I have not. But
okay,
I have. Several times.
I have went down the Colorado River, and terrible. Yes, you need. It is a little daunting and a little scary, and it's actually better to be inebriated because you're more relaxed and you don't tighten up when you hit a rock. It could literally save your life.
I got one here, Aaron. You are a master of kung fu, correct?
I'm not a master of it. I practiced it for several years. When I was
pretty damn kid. Good. Now,
thank you.
Tell me the reason for the drunken master technique. Well. What is the philosophy behind the drunken master
Ooh,
technique?
This is good.
Why did he drink?
Well, no. So what happened, and the cool thing about Kung Fu, there's over 2,000 styles that we know of.
Yep. I remember the goddamn drunken master.
Yeah,
the
drunken master. Style, he was pretty clear, Aaron.
The drunken style, it was actually, I believe, a bodyguard style of Kung Fu.
Oh, leave bodyguards out of this.
Of like, no, but well, in the sense of like...
How does the alcohol, what's the effect of the alcohol?
You're not actually drunk when you're doing it. You're acting like you're drunk.
But the origin.
So it's the lying drunken style.
No, it's if you were at a bar and someone was like starting stuff, you could act like you're drunk so you're weak, but the unpredictability and the, I call them just different angles, I
guess.
So
you're basically a 35-year-old woman who's single with one egg left, pretending like she's so drunk on wine and doesn't know what she could do that night.
One egg.
Yes, but I did win a competition with my drunken broadsword.
But
yeah, so did I, and
it,
with four kids.
It reduces your inhibitions and allows your techniques to flow. When you suppress your conscious mind via alcohol, you can kind of tap into that subconscious and have that flow, that ebb and flow with your kung fu maneuvers. Your inhibitions are gone, and you can kind of – but there's a limit, right? You want to have three drinks.
So
you
it's like
have
a, yeah, it's like a fantasy,
drinks,
right?
You know?
It's like –
you're not wasted.
Right, yeah. Nothing good comes from that. Well, you know what?
Three –
Speaking of fantasy and wasted, I sent you guys three stories, and I think they're all kind of connected.
Huh.
And I'm appalled by all of them.
It's disgusting.
Okay. So one was a woman marries her cat so she doesn't get evicted from her apartment. I'm calling bull. That is not why.
Okay.
And... But it doesn't. The story is irrelevant to me. It's the sexism of the story, because the writer of the story defended her reasons, like told the story in a way, fellas, that like she was doing this thing to save her apartment and her cat, and the cat was also had a broken leg, so only had three legs, so it couldn't even run away, but.
Okay.
What bothered me was, and here's my question to you guys, if she would have been a man, would this story be a happy story?
No, because you'd be pounding a cat. That's horrible.
Everyone would think that you were diddling the cat, but nobody thinks the woman who married the cat is diddling the cat.
Well, the cat's probably doing something to her.
See, but that's...
Here's what creeped me out. About this, right? And I am an animal lover. I actually work a lot with animal rescues, right? And if this was the situation where you go and you get a piece of paper okay, authorities, I am now married to this thing. You can't mess with it. And then you go about your day-to-day life. That's fine. What was creepy and really, really weird about this was the cat was in a tuxedo. Like she, this was a formal thing. And you know what? The tux, like I had her back up until the tuxedo, because now you're getting in a creepy zone. Like, what are you really doing with that cat?
Wouldn't that be illegal to marry a pet?
I feel like it should be, but I don't think it is, because no one would think who's going to marry. Who's got to be the lawyer to write that law up? You would think that would have stopped, like when we discovered fire, to stop marrying and diddling animals. But here's the cold part. She has another cat. She has a side cat.
Oh,
that's not okay. That's just, you know what?
So
that's
one horrible. Cat's good enough to marry and the other one's just there?
Well, you know what they say, one's not enough and two's too many.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she could be a cat polygamist if she wants. I mean, if she really needs to. I mean, that's a, right? I mean, if you can marry one cat, why couldn't you marry two? I mean, people do that sometimes.
Okay, now to prove my point, the other story is about the world's saddest man, and he's some kind of sex-a-fit, I believe the term was.
Fictosexual.
Thank you, Aaron. I knew that you would know that. And he married a avatar, right? A downloadable character. And they were very happy, and he had a teddy bear version of his downloadable character on his computer so he could be physical, and he had a ring on his little hand and a ring on his finger. But then the company that made the avatar no longer had updates for it, so he could no longer grow with his virtual wife because she was outdated tech. So he didn't know what to do.
Oh, so there wasn't a person across the world playing the
no,
part?
No, he downloaded it, yeah, kind of. But then they could no longer update her.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, we can't update our wives, so why would he be able to do that? That's
yeah, right? That's fair. I never really thought about that way. Yeah.
For better or worse, till a power outage does us part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd be interested to see to examine the doll. I'm sure it has some.
You would? Really? Because I'd want to stay the hell away from that thing. I want to get as far away from that thing as possible.
I'll put some gloves on, but I'll check it out. Check out the, you know,
crevices. It basically looked like a Cabbage Patch doll. It wasn't like a sex doll or anything like that. It was literally like a plushie, you know? And it looks like he just...
Some of these sex dolls these days, just, I mean, the texture of the skin and
you realize we're on the air, Boris.
No, yeah, he's no, just making an observation. He doesn't have...
Yeah, I mean, like, just it looks so, like, plush and, like,
it's feeling and they're
real.
Dishwasher safe. I mean that's... That's all you need to know right there when they tell you she's dishwasher safe, fellas.
Well, you definitely got to rinse out something.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
You know what was, like, because I saw the video, right? What was really creepy about it, it was, do you guys remember Pee-wee's Playhouse when he was on Saturday mornings and they had that talking head?
Yeah, before the diddling at the movie theater, yes.
Yes. He was.
It was masturbation.
Exposed himself. There wasn't anyone else involved. But the thing was like, literally, he goes home and the thing pops up on a screen. It was just like that. A Jambi was, I think, its name. And so you literally have this like little thing trapped in a glass case and like, oh, this is my wife. Like when you have cocktail parties, like, what do you do? Like put couches around it and the wife interacts with it.
I don't think you got a big guest list, bro, if you're dating an avatar. I don't think you got a lot of friends running around there.
Do you notice, though, that the way Pee Wee Herman used to dress back then, it's with the way people are dressing now, these tight suits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Short ankles showing. Yeah. I was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Went really far ahead of the curve.
Yeah. He was the original.
This
woke.
Is just so weird, though, how like society has degenerated, right? Because like we started with, you know, and look, everyone knows, okay, there's that like obsession with getting likes and clicks and comments. And it's that need to just kind of have, you know, that affirmation. But now, like, in my opinion, in all seriousness, this is a dangerous, dangerous. Road we're going down, because one or two generations from now, like if this is acceptable, and it look with the way the world's going, it just might be, but we may have people who are really congenitally incapable of procreation. like, because they cannot connect with another human being. And that's really, really frightening.
Well, if you look at the population statistics, that was a geography major, and we are, I mean, we're really exponentially increasing our population. So maybe if some, well, some people shouldn't breed anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, you ain't lied there, bro.
No arguments here.
If it can curtail the population rate growth, you know, maybe it's, the humanity will be around a little longer.
You know what? I can actually get with that, because I have chosen not to have kids for that reason.
Yeah, you chose. Yeah, it was your decision.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And but I really I do think that overpopulation is a thing. And
so why don't you adopt then, if you don't want to make more kids, but you still need to be a father figure for someone. There's some kids out there that can really use you, man.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of young men in Thailand that could use some fathering.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, really, like, I'm responsible for another human life. Gentlemen,
no.
You both know me, please.
No. No, he's
no. It's not a good idea, but at least
I've seen him around kids. He doesn't even know how to react to him. He talks to them like they have, like, they're just sticky and like have cactus spines. He just kind of like, oh,
well,
hello.
No, okay. So from my perspective, right, like with a child, when you see a child, right, it doesn't listen. Like it, and you know, in some cases, it actually talks back to you. And now some kids are amazing, and I will say, you guys both lucked out. You have amazing children.
It's like not your luck, kids,
are awesome.
They live in
fear.
Like,
and I think that's because you guys are great fathers and you have great
mothers.
It's called the
fear of God.
Yes.
No, but it's really, like, it is a pleasure to, like, you know, hear stories about them. Like the thing Ciosi posted, that's amazing. That's just great, right? But there are some kids, they fall down all the time. They don't listen. They scream. They're like drunk people.
Fall down.
Yeah, well, you know, they're like down, they fall. Aaron, that's kind of rude.
They
spit,
you know,
the producer
what?
Literally
just
fell
that.
Out of her chair when you said that. Like, people fall down. She's not going to stop producing.
But I choose and I say, you know what? I don't think I'd be a fit father. So I am going to at least be responsible enough to say, you know what? The bloodlines run out. It runs out with me. That's it. The family dream has stopped.
You don't have to do it all on your own. Generally, you have a partner.
Well, you can't. I mean, procreation.
Yeah, that's true. Unless, you know, you're going
to... You'd have to be in an actual relationship of some sort, and that's not Aaron's thing either. So, you know...
I'm working on myself.
Yes, as you should. Probably a little too much.
Well, just make sure that those women of the night are, you know, taking precautions. You don't want to...
No, I'm working on myself. Well, I mean, what I could get a robot of the night, or a hologram of a night. Like, what is that, hey, you know?
Well, I sent you the stories. Actually, this was an intervention, Aaron. I'm glad you're here today.
This is like the Jerry Springer show. We're on the air.
All three of those options are there for you. So just something to think about. Well, okay. Well, what have you guys learned today besides the fact that Aaron's really working on himself?
What have I learned? I don't know. That you respect the stripes?
Yeah, I do respect the stripes. That's a great observation. Aaron, I even hesitate to ask.
Well, I've learned, which has been highlighted by your bogus suggestion, that it is not okay to ever, ever, ever consume alcohol and go whitewater rafting. It is not good, and I think everyone needs to listen to me on that.
Okay, hold on. Now, if let's say I'm going to go skydiving with an instructor strapped to me. It's my first jump. He's in control of the whatever, the switch, you know, whatever you got to pull.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in my pants and I'm scared. But if I have a few drinks, you know, you're going to get to that point where you go, okay, let's do it. You know, and that's okay, right?
I think so. It's responsible.
You know what I think is okay? You know what? Not jumping. If you're going to have an accident, is maybe not jumping out of a plane. Because if you're going to get there and you're going to defecate, especially if someone else is strapped to you, because there's some logistic issues you kind of overlooked.
Yeah, no, I've never done it. I probably won't. But
need to jump out of a perfectly good plane.
No.
If I had a terminal illness,
I have to bring Justin on.
Oh my God! Yeah.
We have to bring him on one time because he could actually do it while jumping out of a plane because he's jumped like
a thousand. He's had like what? 500 jumps?
Yeah, he's like 14 broken legs so far, but he's doing well. Oh. He loves it. So
he has one of those suits too that like there's wings and you just
He can fly. He's like made enough jumps that he can fly. He can. He's literally he can be a bird anytime he wants to. And
one time he jumped out of a parachute. Down below was his Playboy Playmate girlfriend waiting on a Ducati motorcycle, And he literally pulls the parachute, lands perfectly on the motorcycle, takes off, cuts the straps, and rides off into the sunset on the beach with his. I mean, it was incredible.
And yeah, he's yeah, and that in itself is worth 14 broken legs. I think I can condone that. So,
well, he's got it on camera.
Yep. You know, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Santino, where can people find you if they want to ask you questions about whitewater rafting?
Don't look for me. I'm private. No, I'm just kidding. Milan Miracle on Twitter and The Milan Miracle on Instagram. That's all you get.
And again, Battle Arts Academy is opening up in Ontario, correct?
We are in Ontario. We're opening our second location also in Ontario.
All right. Aaron, I don't know why they would, but if anyone's looking for you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron's Thoughts. That's A-R-O-N-S Thoughts. Oh, or on Instagram at The Aaron Files. T-H-E-A-R-O-N Files.
Nice. Well done. And you can catch me at, well, just about everywhere, at Tyrus Smash on Instagram, Planet Tyrus on Twitter. And, you know, well, it's been a lot, fellas, and I appreciate you. And again, my book is out, Just Tyrus. You can get it at Walmart, at Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, Target, and Amazon. It is sold out. By the time this comes out, we should be back in stores, full regalia. So, all right. Well,
large font, by chance?
That can be arranged for you. Or you can just get some reading glasses. But the audiobook's coming out. You can get it on Kindle. That definitely has large fonts. It was number one in Kindle, too. So there you go. This is Three Wise Men. Enough said.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.